Good morning, Real Life. How's everybody doing? You guys are, they were packed in here today. Well, hey, thanks for choosing to be here this morning instead of out in the blistering sun on a boat. You guys have made a sacrifice. So thanks for being here this morning. I believe God's got a lot of good words ahead of us. And as you know, we've been in a series called Paradox. And the Paradox has been a great series in the standpoint of Jesus spoke these words over 2,000 years ago. So we've been in the Beatitudes, going into the Sermon on the Mount. And when you realize that the words that he was speaking 2,000 years ago is to his disciples in a culture who was anti-everything, and it sounds very familiar with where we're at today. And his words from 2,000 years ago hit home today. And so we've looked at, blessed are those who mourn. And this is really the spot of understanding of like our sin, understanding the sin around us and how it grieves us and it mourns us. And so we've talked all the way from that to last week when we had blessed are the pure in heart. And when Gabe was speaking last week about the pure in heart, the heart represents our motives. So pure in our motives as we approach God's kingdom. And so if you've missed any of these messages over the last few weeks, I just encourage you, you can go online and pick them up there. Also, we have what's called our Overtime Podcast. We film that every Monday morning with all the campus people who preach at all the campuses. And then we have an opportunity to continue that conversation along throughout the week. So you can join us there as well. If I was to title today's message, I would title it this: Peacemakers know Jesus and bring Jesus everywhere they go. Peacemakers know Jesus and will bring Jesus with them. And I think it's really important right now because when we're talking about the subject of peace, understanding the world that we live in is full of conflict. You don't have to, you know, do too much research. You flip on the TV, you can see that our world is in conflict and there's chaos and there's turmoil all around. You look at just the events that took place here in the last few weeks with an assassination attempt, with riots in the streets, with college getting overtaken and protest happening. And you look and you go, what is going on in our culture? You look even to Israel. Israel was attacked over a year ago. And even in the defense of their own country, nations have come against them and said, hey, you're doing it wrong. You're being the aggressor. And so you look at the world stage and you can see the chaos and the strife and these things that are happening. But then also you can look right into where you're at today. And you can see stress and you can see chaos, whether that's in a relationship that you're in, whether that's your finances, whether it's the economy, whether it's you looking to see if you have enough finances to even be able to retire. So there's all these different things that come against us in our culture that create chaos and create discomfort. And then we're going to talk today about peace and being a peacemaker. What does that even look like? People are searching for peace. People want things to be resolved. But do they actually know what peace means? Do they actually understand where to find it? So I got a couple of slides that are going to come up on the screen here behind me. And some of you may recognize the different emblems of peace. I don't know if you were maybe out in the 60s. Everybody remembers the peace symbol coming out strong, right? So some of you are going, yep, remember those days. Some of you dressed like Barbie and probably had that same outfit at one point in time. For the younger kids, maybe you got to look at the guy like Post Malone and he's giving us the peace sign, right? And so you go, okay, all these people. And then we've got the dove and an olive branch. So as believers, we look at that and we see peace in a different perspective. And then lastly, what we see is this coexist. Just everybody do your own thing. We'll agree and we'll move on. This is the world's definition of peace. When they look at these symbols and they go, man, that's peace to me. Coexisting is peace. But what does God's word say that peace is? We live in a very conflicted culture when it comes to peace. And Jesus spoke in John 14:27. He says, I leave with you my peace that I give. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So Jesus brings peace to our world, but our world has a different version or a different meaning of peace. As I was preparing for this message, I was on YouTube and social media again, and I looked up just kind of, what does the world say peace is? And in a 20-second clip, these were the definitions that I heard about peace. Multiple different people, 20 seconds. The world's version of peace. It says, peace is freedom from violence and oppression. I can get on board with that. That's peaceful. Peace is equality regardless of gender, sexual identity, race, religion, or culture, or even background. Peace is respecting the inherent dignity of every person's belief. Peace is one of the most affordable values in the world. All we have to be is peaceful. Respect each other's voices and views. It doesn't cost much at all to just have peace. These are the different viewpoints from a 20-second clip. And as I was sitting there looking at this, and I'm going, you know, hey, I can get on board with freedom from violence and oppression. I can go, that is peace. That's a part of peace, so that's not peace. But as I looked at this and kind of began to just organize some thoughts around it, basically what they're saying is peace is the absence of conflict. You do you and I'll do me. We're good. They're also saying that peace is acceptance for all. As long as you're a good person, do your thing, you're accepted. And I also see here that peace is passive. Just kind of just happens. It doesn't cost much. It just does its own thing. But for a better understanding and for a biblical understanding, we've got to go to God's word and what does peace actually look like. The word for peace is shalom. And shalom means completeness, soundness, wellness, wholeness, and welfare in relationship with God and others. In fact, if Jesus, when he would speak in the Jewish culture, they would greet each other with the word shalom. They would leave each other with the word shalom. And when they would say shalom, when Jesus would say shalom, he was literally saying, wishing you the full presence, the full power, and the full provision of God for that person's life. So as they would walk and say shalom, this is what they would hear, full presence, full power, and provision of God for that person that was said shalom to. This is peace. Peace is when we're in the right relationship with God, which leads us to have peace in relationship with others. But I'll guarantee you this, many in our culture would actually argue that point and say that peace has nothing to do with being in relationship with God or others. As long as you have your own internal peace and harmony, that's peace for you. And so we have to understand that we live in a culture, we live in a paradox where culture says one thing and Jesus says something different. And ultimately today, Matthew 5:9, Jesus says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now listen, there's no fancy Greek and Hebrew. Guys, this is a very straightforward blessed. We've already talked about it. It means experiencing happiness or God's favor. And peace, peacemaker, well, it simply means to make peace. So we're blessed, we have God's favor, we're happy, and we're called to make peace wherever we go and bring peace wherever we go as God's disciples. The same verse in the New Living Translation says this, God blesses those who work for peace. Who work for peace, which means there's an action step that we have. Notice it doesn't say for those who hope for peace, those who desire peace, those who wish for peace. No, it says those who work for peace, which means we have to be willing to get involved into conflict and strife. We have to get involved so that we can bring peace to that situation. So, how, as a peacemaker, do we know what to do? Well, the only way that we can actually be a peacemaker is we have to know Jesus first and foremost. We have to understand the peace that he's offered to each and every one of us before we can bring peace, his peace, to somebody else. Many of you know that when I was 5, I lost my dad. And I did not grow up with a peaceful mindset. As I was getting older into my teenage years, Peace for me was not the absence of conflict. Peace for me was I was a troublemaker. I was always in trouble. I was always up for suspension. I was expelled from two schools. So for me, peace was not about the absence of conflict. It was actually about creating conflict because at least I got some attention, but at the same time, I didn't have to commit to much other than being a troublemaker. But that peace that I didn't have led to more things because I agreed with the acceptance for all. I wanted to be accepted. The problem with being accepted for all is it actually influenced me in the wrong way. I never knew who I was because I was always trying to be accepted in different areas, which led to me in my sixth grade year starting to drink alcohol. I didn't experience peace because I didn't think there was actual true peace out there. In fact, I didn't even experience real relationships with people because I thought that if I actually had a relationship with somebody that I was going to get hurt. So the best thing for me to do is keep everybody at an arm's distance. I would get what I needed to get from that person, but I would never get close enough to that person where they could hurt me. And that was my way of peace. My way of peace was actually distance. My way of peace was like, you do you, leave me the heck alone. I had no idea there was an absolute truth. I had no idea that there was a God in heaven who actually loved me and wanted to invest into me. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I had my mom, I had two older sisters, my aunt, and my grandma. And those ladies prayed for me on a daily basis. They were faithful. They lifted me up in prayer. They tried to speak truth into my life, but I didn't want to hear it. But they were persistent. They were faithful in their prayers. They tried to bring peace to a situation. I was a situation, and I rejected it until I met Jesus. See, I didn't understand that actually experiencing peace means that I actually had to have a relationship with the Savior of the universe. And so when Jesus entered the picture, my whole life began to change. Not that it was instantly just full of peace and it was peaceful and everything was just made okay, but I began to understand the love that Jesus had for me. I began to understand the peace that he was offering to my brokenness and to my chaos. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we can only find peace when we experience God's forgiveness. We can only experience peace when we come to the end of ourselves and become one and straight, like ahead of you is the Savior. And as you do that, as you begin to understand who Jesus is and what he offers, and that when we're justified through faith, we actually experience peace. When you begin to understand that, you begin to go, okay, I can get on board with this. There may be those of you here today that haven't experienced that peace yet. There may be those of you today who have experienced what I've experienced, where you're kind of distant, you're far off, you don't want anybody telling your truth, you're just doing your thing. Let me tell you, we have a Savior, his name's Jesus. And today, as you hear this message, as this is unpacked, if you go, man, I want to know more about this Jesus, we would love to have that conversation with you. You can do that through filling out the card that's on the seat back pocket in front of you. You can do that. We're going to have time for prayer at the end of service. You can do that by grabbing one of our anybody who's on staff. We would love to introduce you to Jesus. For Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says, for God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So contrary to the world system of peace doesn't cost anything, peace cost Jesus his life. He gave his life for you and for me, even when we were far away from him. Continue on, it says, this includes when you were once far away. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. We have to understand that God's peace doesn't necessarily change our circumstances right away. doesn't necessarily make everything just peaceful right away, but we have peace with God because he sees us no longer as an enemy. He sees us no longer with faults. He begins to take us as we are because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. And that should get us excited because that means God has done something in us, but he's preparing to do something through us for those who still haven't experienced his peace. Ephesians chapter 6, being a peacemaker, this is one of those things where it's like, it's work. Peacemaker is work. It's not passive, it's active. And to be active in this, Ephesians tells us that we have to, it reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers in this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul tells us, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, when conflict comes, when circumstances come, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Guys, we are going to have conflicts. There are going to be circumstances that we need to bring peace. We need to bring shalom, fullness, health, wellness, welfare. We need to bring it with us into situations. But we also have to understand that some of these things, some of the people that we're dealing with, they may not understand peace to begin with, but it's not them that's creating the conflict. It's an enemy that's working around to steal, kill, and destroy. And so as we go, we have to understand that we are literally putting on the armor of God. It's this picture of going into battle. We're going into battle to bring peace to those who have not experienced it yet. We're bringing Jesus to them. Again, the world's version of peace is absence of conflict. But I'm here to tell you today that biblically speaking, peacemakers bring peace to the conflict. We don't run from it, we run towards it. When things are falling apart, it's like the firemen who like get geared up and they head towards the fire. They get into the conflict because without that, they're gonna lose that house, that structure, that environment. And as peacemakers, as disciples of Jesus, we actually bring peace to the conflict. We're literally saying, we wanna offer you the fullness and the wellness and the provision that God offers. So we're on the front lines as peacemakers. A lot of you, like myself, are on front line in your own homes at times. I have two teenage daughters. There is a lot of conflict that can happen in my world. If you're parents, you understand that statement. So I'm not gonna, one of them's here today, so I gotta be really careful what I say, or I'll go home to conflict. Here's what I know. There are times I get the phone call from my wife going, hey, I just wanna let you know what you're walking into. And I'm like, thank you, babe. And there are times I go in and I offer peace and I'm like, hey, let's get this done. There are times where I completely go in, get caught up in the emotion of it, add to the problem, and everything blows up. Anybody else ever experienced this? Yeah, welcome to conflict. Here's what I know. When I come into an environment, whether it's at home or it's somewhere else, when I come into that environment, my job is not just to be a people pleaser. And a lot of times we think peacemaking equals people pleasing. If you come in as a people pleaser and not a peacemaker, you're actually setting yourself up for conflict to continue to fester. Because when we come into a conflict, we have to bring the peace of God with us and be able to have that conflict hopefully resolved. But if we just sit there and go, well, hey, it's okay, I understand what you're feeling, let's sit and talk about it for the next 45 minutes. Like if we do that and just be a people pleaser and let things continue, we're actually adding to the trouble. We're not a peacemaker, we're a troublemaker. And if we just sit there and appease the situation and go, well, I know your sister said that you did this and I'm sorry that you feel that way. And if I sit there and just appease the situation, I'm actually adding to the problem of the situation. Because peacemakers bring peace and truth to the environments and to the circumstances that you're in. So at work, let's say you're at work and you've got things going on and there's just that person that every time you're at work, there just seems like it's just ready, it's go time. It's gonna be like, there's gonna be a fight that's gonna happen. please understand and please look at that person how God views them. Begin to understand that they're actually made in the image of God. Before the conflict ensues, step back and go, okay, this person is made in the image of God. Now, they may not be acting like they're made in the image of God. They may not be claiming that they're made in the image of God, but we know as believers they're created in the image of God, and we have to seek understanding to find out what's going on. Are they actually mad at you? Are they mad at their job? Is there something going on in their life that is causing turmoil, and you're just getting the overflow of that? And it's really hard because we can see a person and go, you're the problem. But oftentimes and most times, they're not the problem. It's the enemy behind the scenes that's doing the whole puppeteering thing. That's the problem. So can we as peacemakers begin to look at people through the lens of God's eyes instead of just our own in our own emotion? James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then it's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere, and peacemakers who sow in peace reap the harvest of righteousness. We have to begin to understand that we have a part to play as disciples of Jesus, and as a peacemaker, we have a part to play. We don't have to do everybody else's part. We have our part and our role. And can I be honest with you? Oftentimes, it's the most intimidating spot because peacemakers actually have to make the first step. You can't wait for somebody else who hasn't experienced peace to be the person that's going to come up and just go, hey, I just feel like there's a lot of tension between us. That's a very mature person. But as a believer, as a disciple maker, as a peacemaker, it's our responsibility to close the gap. There's been times where my wife and I have had issues. Nobody else has ever had issues, right? You guys are good. We've had issues. And so, like, we have one of those, like, L-shaped couches. And so I will sit here in my little pouty mode, and she will sit there with the glaring mode. And then because I know there's a glare coming my way, I just look out the door. I look out the sliding door, and it's like, we're good. There is nothing going on here. I'm good, babe. You just do you. Let me be me, and I'm still looking. I'm not making eye contact because I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to show you that you're wrong. Or it's the couple that's on their way to church. And there's a little clash that happens. And you watch it. They come in. They're not talking to each other, but they got the smiles on. We're good. We're good. God bless you, Jesus. And then they sit down without looking at each other. And then they go, kids, sit here. And then you have one kid, two kid, three kid. And then the dad sits over there. But we're good. Can I tell you that when I'm pouting on my couch, that God calls me to be the peacemaker and actually close the gap with my wife? And sometimes it's like this, one seat to the next. And sometimes it's like, babe, I'm being an idiot and you need to forgive me. Or whatever the situation is, we need to actually talk through this and not just think it's gonna go away on its own. So can I just encourage you today, as a peacemaker, close the gap. Be the first person to offer the olive branch, so to speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's these all of these principles that God's already taught us. Seek understanding. Like, hey, where things go wrong? Where could we have worked on to make this better next time? And again, that's not only in home, but that's at work. It's where you work, live, and play. And it's interesting to me that, you know, you have your home life and you can kind of maybe close the gap there because it's easy. And then work life's a little difficult because maybe you're not seeing that employee on a daily basis, but you know it's the right thing to do. And then interestingly enough, the place where I've always thought the most challenging is where we play. So I was in sports most of my life and leagues and basketball and baseball and stayed away from football because I didn't want to be that broken that early on. But the worst place, the worst league I ever was in when it came to a spot of like chaos and turmoil and lack of peacemaking was in a Christian softball league. Yeah, because, you know, Christians are like, we're going to do our own league because we don't want to be with the people that are all drinking and partying before and after. So we're going to make our own league, and it's going to be super holy and great. We're all going to love each other until you don't. And I've seen pastors, I've done it myself. That Christian softball league, man, it's like hockey. They'll take each other out. I've seen fights in the stands. I remember my stepdad one year, I slid into second. Or no, I was coming across from shortstop, and someone slid into me and just took me out, barrel roll. And I'm like flat out on the ground. I'm like 18, 19 years old, flat on the ground. And before like the dust settles, here's my stepdad like got a guy by the throat. And I'm pretty sure he wasn't praying for him or telling him like, God bless you. As I kind of came to, it was like, whoa, you know, and people pulling everybody apart. And that game had to be stopped. There was that much stuff going on. So I'm not meaning to pick on Christian softball leagues. I'm sure they're good here in North Idaho, but where I grew up, they're a little different. Nobody was quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I think this is just a good reminder for us. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires, and they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's the society we live in. It's the culture we live in. They are looking for someone to come and bring truth to their lives. And we gotta be able to bring truth and love to offer peace to those who need it, because this is a lost and dying world. Point number two, the world's version of peace is acceptance for all. That's what they'll tell you, acceptance for all, unless we disagree with you. Peacemakers won't be accepted by all. Peacemakers won't be accepted by all. Jesus wasn't accepted by all. Jesus came into this culture, and he drew a line in the sand. And he wasn't going to bend. He wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to speak. He wasn't going to appease people. He was going to speak truth. Matthew chapter 10 says this, do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. We go, okay, then Wayne, why are we talking about being a peacemaker if Jesus said I didn't come to bring peace to earth? He says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Okay, this is getting confusing. Here's another paradox. Now, for some of us, North Idaho guys and gals, like, yeah, that's right. Bring your sword, bring your gun, let's rally, right? Oh, I hit home. Everybody got quiet on that one. That's not the type of peace that Jesus is saying to bring. But he does continue to say, for I have come to set man against his father and daughter against her mother and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I went on Thursday night, I said, and son-in-law against his mother-in-law, because my mother-in-law was in the crowd. She got a kick out of that. Somebody came up to me afterwards like, I didn't see that part. And I'm like, trust me, it's there. It is there. And someone said amen. All right. Now, here's Jesus saying, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And I'm telling you to come and be a peacemaker. It just doesn't make any sense. Welcome to the paradox. Jesus is saying families are going to hate each other. Why? Because someone's going to make a decision to stand for Jesus and to bring his truth and to bring his peace. And I know some of your stories. I know stories that will break your heart because there's parents who are distant from their kids because they've chosen an alternative lifestyle. And you're going, well, how is this peaceful, Lord? Can I just tell you, be on your knees for your family. Be on your knees and continue to not compromise. Continue to keep the line in the sand, but the relationship open. I know of the stories where it's like, I won't go there unless you do X, Y, and Z. I know the stories of kids that are missing time with their family at Christmas because families aren't willing to compromise what the word of God has already spoken. And that's hard, but it's not surprising. It's not surprising. And let me tell you this, my mom, my grandma, my aunt, they all prayed for me in my time of chaos and me choosing to do my own thing in my own way. And because of their faithfulness, I'm actually here today. Because they never gave up, they didn't compromise the truth. I may not have listened to the truth, but they spoke truth. They prayed for me, they stayed faithful. They literally brought me before the Lord on a daily basis and I didn't even know.
And so let me just tell you, if that's you today and you're experiencing the tension in your home or distance family, just know this, God is faithful. Continue to intercede on that person's behalf. Allow us to come alongside of you and pray with you. We have our entire staff prays for people all week long. We get those decision cards with pray for this, pray for that. Like, we are in prayer with you for your families, for your situations, for the diagnosis. We are here with you. We partner with you in prayer because we believe prayer is powerful. So, peacemakers know Jesus and they bring Jesus. Peacemakers look different, and guess what? We're going to be treated different. You may not be right now, but the culture around us, there will be a point where they're going to cancel us. They're going to cancel us because of our belief in Jesus. They're going to cancel us because of the gospel that we represent. And guess what? That's okay. We're going to continue to stand firm. We're going to continue to abide in Christ, and we're going to continue to share the good news to those around us. Peacemaking, the world's version, is passive. It's passive. Just do you. Peacemakers are active. Do you know that we have been called to bring God's given us a ministry of reconciliation? That he has placed in us his power and authority through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says, "All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Peacemakers will bring hope and peace to a lost and dying world. Remember, the definition was, it was kind of passive in the world's view. We are active. We are actively on a mission for Christ. We are going into conflict. We are taking steps. We're preparing ourselves with the armor of God so that we can actually step into environments, that we can actually walk into environments and offer peace. So how do we do this? How do we walk into environments and bring peace? Well, first of all, we pray for opportunity. We pray for opportunity. We go, "God, please use us in the relationships that I'm in." And not only do we pray for opportunity, but we pray for salvation for those who are lost and hurting. We reflect Jesus everywhere we go. We don't gossip at work. We don't sit around the water cooler and make crude jokes. We spend time in a foreign land, so to speak, bringing and representing all that God has. The word ambassador, you think of the United States, we have ambassadors all around the world. And here's the deal. Ambassadors don't just get to go to like fun, fancy vacation island countries. We have ambassadors in some places in this world that conflict ensues on a daily basis. Their lives are at risk on a daily basis. And we read here in 2 Corinthians where it says, we are Christ ambassadors. So we're going to put our armor on. We're going to step into conflict. We're going to step into environments. And like I said, that may be your front door of your house. That may be the office tomorrow. That may be Wednesday night softball. I don't know. But we are going to represent Christ and be his ambassador to a lost and dying world that need to understand what peace is, that need a savior. Matthew 5:9, going back to where we started. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." As a child of God, you were adopted by him. You're an heir of God. We share in the inheritance that he offers. We're gonna get to experience eternal life. When you think about the benefits there are to be called a child of God, I don't think we understand the depth of what those benefits are. We actually walk around with the same power and authority because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So when we walk through a door and we get to offer peace, we get to offer shalom to those around us, we get to bless people in those moments because we are a child of God. And because we understand that it's not just about us receiving this, but it's about us sharing this so others can experience God's peace, so that they will be called a child of God. We need to remember, as peacemakers, we know Jesus and we bring Jesus to every area of our life.